Hey, Dave here from the Breakfast with Manny podcast, which comes from when my co-host Emmanuel, also known as Manny, and I used to meet regularly for breakfast. When we were discussing the shifting landscape of manhood, mostly by sharing our experiences and our struggles, as well as my coaching courses and my entrepreneurial experience, we realized many men could benefit from discussing these topics. So Breakfast with Manny is going to explore the unseen patterns that sabotage men from realizing their potential, healing, and getting the life, sex, career, and health they want, leading to a healthy masculine life. All right, episode one, you ready?
Let's go.
Okay,
let's
zeros and ones. We're going to go to episode one. So this is the episode I call the flaccid male. And what I mean by that is for years now, men have been told soften, soften, soften. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's gotten maybe a bit out of balance. And I joke, nobody likes a flaccid male, to be honest. And so we've seen this kind of like many men falling into this, yes, dear, soft. They have no vibrance to them, no purpose to them. They're just kind of, you know, kind of lost. And for me, like one of the guiding books for me that really helped me out, it's called, obnoxious title a little bit, it's called The Way of the Superior Man by David Dida. And but he captured it. This caught me. I'm going to read it for you guys. Mm-hmm. Like I thought it was really cool. And he says, this book is a guide for a specific kind of newly evolving man. This man is unabashedly masculine. He's purposeful, confident, and directed, living his chosen way of life with deep integrity and humor. And he is also sensitive, spontaneous, and spiritually alive, with a heart commitment to discovering and living his deepest truth. He's totally turned on by the feminine, loves to take his woman sexually to ravish her, but not in some old-style macho way. He wants to ravish her with so much love, she has vanished, and they both vanished into the fullness of loving itself. Little deep, but we'll go there. But he is dedicated to incarnating love on this earth through his work, his sexuality, and do it as a free man, neither bound by convention or inner cowardice. And I know inner cowardice because I was that guy. Last part, this newly evolving man is not a scared bully, posturing like some King Kong in charge of the universe, but nor is he a new age wimp all spineless, smiley, and starry-eyed. And I don't think I've ever been super macho a bit, but I've certainly gone the other way, like trying to do some new age stuff and being a little like lost and soft.
Yeah.
He has embraced both his inner masculine and feminine, and he no longer holds on to either of them. He doesn't need to be right all the time, nor does he always need to be the safe, cooperative, and sharing, androgynous Mr. Nice Guy. Interesting that Mr. Nice Guy came up here. Simply lives from his deepest core, fearlessly giving his gifts, feeling through the fleeting moment into the openness of existence, totally committed to magnifying love. And I do want to tell you one thing. I was with a group of women recently, several women, and I read them that passage and they freaked out. They were like, oh my God, if men could work towards doing that, oh my God. And I think some of the wording's a little flowery, but really at the end of the day, you're talking about becoming more conscious. What does that mean? It just means you know yourself. You know your patterns. You know your triggers. You know yourself. It's not actually that hard, but for some reason it is a little bit hard. So
yeah,
that's a start, man.
I'm curious because what I feel like could be the struggle is someone, Mr. Nice Guy, for example, guys want to please, they want to feel like they're loved, they're appreciated, you know, people understand them. So how does that happen? Why do people fall into the Mr. Nice Guy
scene? Yeah, oh boy. So there's a long, there is the book, No More Mr. Nice Guy, which I highly recommend. Basically, nice guys, a lot of nice guys have suffered some kinds of trauma. And especially though, they carry toxic shame with them. So they never feel good enough. They never feel enough. So what do? You're like, well, I'll be perfect. So I'll hide all my flaws. I'll lie. I'll manipulate. I'll not ask for what I want. They have no idea how to get their needs met. There's the book here. There's some more, the laundry list there. I'm so giving. The problem is nice guys give to get, right? Mm. So you're like, you're super nice to the woman, super nice to the woman, and then you don't have sex. And then these guys can get really upset, right? Just blow up.
I did everything right. I was perfect.
I was perfect. Exactly, yeah. Man. Exactly. So they avoid conflict. They seek approval from others. External validation. So, you know, the kind of man David Dida is talking about is the kind of man who does things for the right reasons, feels good about himself. And I think at the end of the day, like our podcast is here because guys, I think it's time. It's time for men to step up. We've seen a lot of women step up And there's been some interesting developments there. And we have a guest coming in a future episode to talk about the feminine. But, you know, dude, like, we've all seen guys. I didn't put it in the file today, but I've collected kind of a douchey file just for fun. But the other day I was reading it, like, there was a guy who accosted a woman in Queen Elizabeth's funeral line. Like, yeah. Brother, dude, really? But obviously that guy's not well, right? There's issues there. There's
probably
there's
other situations there, yeah.
Other stuff going on, yeah.
But don't we all have that, maybe not everyone, but in ourselves, a little percentage of that Mr. Nice Guy that sometimes wants to show up? Because there's a couple of things you say that there's situations that I can remember that I can relate to some extent, saying, oh, like, I was trying to act perfect. I was trying to be this particular way. So, yeah, I'm curious about how we can together switch and become, as you're saying, that person who has a purpose, who does thing with a meaning, and that at the end of the day doesn't really care if someone doesn't appreciate or like the way you want to be the way you want to feel, then screw that person at the end of the day, right? You need to stay true to yourself at the end of the day, and women will end up respecting you more for that.
Well, look, like, someone with no spine, do you respect them? Like, no. And so, like, nice guys just have very, all their schemas are, like, mixed up. They're a little bit off. So there's ways to recover. Like, one is to become internally validating. So, like, a lot of nice guys never ask the question, who do I want to be, right? So I'll give you a couple of examples. I had a client who was kind of a nice guy. He had a mix of things, but he was my first client ever. And I want to tell the story. It's a good story. So I'm at a course in Amsterdam, and I watch this guy going around. And he's a large, wearing a medium t-shirt. Like, he's ripped. Turns out he's a gym owner. Okay, we'll call him AM or whatever. So AM is walking around and he is hitting on every girl in the place. Now I'm sitting back there watching, and there were a lot of really attractive women, but I mean, he was a machine, right? Just going crazy. And I watched him and I was like, wow. He reminded me of when I was like 22 or 23, 24, I ran around. And, you know, sidebar, through the work I've done and some of the reflecting I've done, I realized, you know, a couple things. Men use sex to regulate their nervous system because they don't know how to get into parasympathetic, which is like the calm state. Number two is, if a woman has sex with you, then you feel okay. You feel like you're all right because you're like, well, you know, she allowed me to obviously be inside her. Like, I'm not a total loser. And so, you know, I've even seen that with another guy that I coached when I was talking to him, he was in a sexless marriage for a very long time. And when he got out, whatever, he ran around, you know, he's an adult and he was with adults. It's all good. But here's a perfect nice guy scenario for you. His girlfriend criticized him a little bit around the sex. And of course he was deeply hurt, right? What does he do? Nice guy lashes out. He goes, well, why don't you just go fuck some other guy? I'm like, did you want her to fuck some other guy? Like, is that what you actually wanted? He's like, well, no. And I said, and then I looked at him and he was hurt, right? And I felt him, like, I felt his pain. And I know what it's like. And I just looked him in the eye and I said, dude, how many women do you think it's going to take for you to feel better? And he was like, good point.
So he's basically repeating a pattern without introspectively looking inside and realizing that there's probably something else.
Running around with no clue why he's doing what he's doing. And, you know, we're going to get into it in a future episode. Wounds are so important to understand.
Yep.
And think about it this way. Like, if you had a cut on your arm, a big one, and you were leaking blood all over the place, on your couch, in your car, you'd patch it up, right? Well, the wounds that are inside, we're spraying it all around. We just don't know it. I didn't know it. I sprayed it around to my family, my ex-wife, my employees, my ex-partner. What the hell was I doing? But it's not really my fault. Like, I take full responsibility for it. But, you know, life kind of, everybody has trauma.
Yeah.
Everybody has trauma. But I'll go back to the other story. So gym guy was all set up and we're sitting together at lunch. And he says, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I own a medical education business, but I'm getting into coaching and da, da, da. And he's like, oh, maybe you can help me. I'm like, I probably could. I think so. And he goes, I want to get married and have kids. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, well, what are you looking for? And he goes, well, I just want a woman who's really intelligent. I can have great conversations with, just, you know, really connect with. And I'm like, okay, well, what was your last girlfriend like? He goes, dude, crazy body. I'm like, oh, how was the conversation? Right. And so this guy, we found out when I started working with him, he admitted, and this guy was courageous, man. He went deep. But he admitted he used to follow women down the street.
Yeah, he'd follow them
down the street. And I just said, is that the man you want to be? And he's like, I don't even know why I do it. So the funniest part, this guy, he's a gift that kept on giving. He's a great guy.
Kudos for him to admitting and being ready to, he took it, I guess, on. Understand.
But that this before he did the work and got sort of a lot better, he used to text me on Messenger, and he texts me and he's like, I just fell in love. And I knew it meant he saw a girl with a great large chest. And then he goes, I just fell in love again. And I swear this is a true story. He goes, oh my, an hour later, he goes, oh my God, I just fucked my cleaning lady. I couldn't believe this.
We all know someone who's
wild.
Just, yeah, wild.
Out of control. Yeah.
Out of control. Yeah. Falls in love. Just.
But you know, when he went inside and we worked together deeply, he was able to remember things through his body that his mind had forgotten. And his mother, he had major issues with his mother. But I think the breakthrough with him was he was talking about his relationship with another woman, and he called it fire and ice. He goes, it's like fire and ice. And then he was starting to use warlike terms, protection and line of defense. And I said, like, do you realize you're at war with women? But he never knew that. So like, anyway, that's why awareness is so critical, man. It's like, yeah, so important.
Going back to what David Data is saying in the book, how can we apply some of these things into concrete, let's say, actions? Because he mentions, you said, in a way that sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
But then in reality, guys, someone might read this and be like, hey, how the fuck do I, you know, how the fuck do I find my purpose? How can I act more like myself? How can I embrace that passionate side that I think women at the end of the end up respecting a lot when a guy, as you're saying, has his...
You know, I'll combine the two with the No More Mr. Nice Guy theories, but, you know, one of the things Glover says is, like, exercise vigorously, for example, right? Number one. Number two, for Dida, he's just saying, like, stay masculine, understand your feminine, bring your heart to what you do. And most people get really fucked up by purpose. Like, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? What's my purpose? There are ways to do it, and we could talk about that in another episode, but, like, maybe your purpose is to find your purpose. Maybe it's that. Maybe your purpose isn't a career purpose. Maybe it's, for me, I'll say one thing that's a bit emotional for me, but sorry, man. Yeah. The one thing I always wanted to be and do was be a good father, right? Mm-hmm. Because my father, it was a bit crazy. I'll tell you a quick story there. It also points out the power of intention, right? And I laugh because when you say intention, it's kind of a spiritual word, right? Like a power of intention. But every athlete does envisioning, right? Which is what? Creating an intention. So like some of the poo-pooing of spiritual terms, and you know, it's kind of garbage because we all do it. We just use different names for it. Mm. But when I had a lot of trouble, and we'll probably weave in and out of that, but I was so attached to my friends because my house was so unstable. I was never home. I tried to be away as much as possible. So I was going to play flag football with all my buddies. And I was like, oh, get to play with all my buddies. Dad, can you sign me up for flag football? And he's like, yeah, for sure. No problem. Next day, he's in his chair and he was in one of his deep depressions or whatever. He goes, hey, that football, forget it. You're not doing it. And it was so unfair. And I was just so hurt. And it was cumulative.
Yeah.
It's probably about 15 years old. And I go upstairs and I snap. And I punch the window out. And I'm bleeding. And I'm sitting there. And I'm like, and this is the power of intention, though. I literally took like a mental cow brand and I seared my brain. And I go, I will never fucking do this to my children. Ever. And my dad came up, started beating me and like kind of whacking me around and screaming. And I just was dead set. And what I guess I would say is one of the biggest gifts of my life was understanding what a gift he was. Sounds terrible, right? When I believe, like, when you start talking about maybe a more spiritual life, you're welcome, you welcome everything. And you realize, actually, there's no such thing really as good and bad. They're just things. I would never be the dad I am today if I didn't have that with my dad. Never. So it was a gift, man.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a different way to look at life.
So you're saying basically people who have been hurt, who have gone through these experiences, is actually should be a they could use that as a motivation or a sense of purpose to want to not repeat something or change something about their lives.
Well, it's super easy to take the victim pole, right? So nothing will make you more miserable. So gentlemen, this one, okay, ding, 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 star. Don't be a victim. Nothing will make you more miserable than being a victim. It will crush you. It will crush your soul. And it's just not a place where you want to reside. The question is, what am I going to do next? How did I contribute to this situation, right? And I literally was talking to a woman a couple of days ago, and she was talking about her, you know, men, and I was talking about this dream and this podcast and what I'm hoping to help some people with.
Yeah.
And she said, like, oh my God, my husband did exactly that. So like he did some stuff and she closed. He never recognized it. And he was just like, well, you're a bitch. And he backed away and no, you're mean to me. And he ran off with another woman and that's history. Instead of like standing up to it all, you know what I mean? So being a victim is a big, big, that's a big nice guy category right there. Yeah, for sure. So we're not victims. We're not. You can always choose. We just don't see the choice sometimes. Sometimes we're blind to the choice. And so, you know, we'll give some examples as we go throughout, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's very interesting because I think we hear a lot of stories of, people who have gone through difficult things and they become this victim of life, right? This victim that everything happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up living a life in which everything happens to them. And
yeah. Yeah.
They don't control, or they don't feel like they control their lives. So you know, this is really interesting.
Yeah, man. Let me hit you with another story. So a good buddy of mine knows I coach, and he called for some advice. We'll call him JM. So JM calls, and he says, can I talk to you about some woman stuff? And I'm like, yeah, sure, man. And he's like, okay, I've been seeing this woman for like 3 years, and pretty casual to start, but it's been 3 years. But lately, like, she sat me down and said the following to me. She goes, hey, by the way, I want to be clear with you. You're not my boyfriend. You've never been my boyfriend, and you'll never be my boyfriend. I'm like, so what advice do you need? Like, what the hell am I supposed to say to that? But he goes, well, I have a lot of hope for us. And I just pointed out as a coach, I just said, what us are we talking about? But he, as we went through it, he had nice guy syndrome.
Yeah.
He made the critical mistake of making this woman his emotional center. And what I mean by that is when she would call him, he's happy. When she was gone, he's sad. You tag yourself to something else. Yeah. And I think this is where that internal validation comes in. Like, you've got to do your thing as a man. Yeah. It's way more attractive. Women actually don't like it when a man is like all over them and makes them just like the be all end all. And you know, and so obsessions came up. So he's like, yeah, but I'm obsessed. And I said, well, one good thing for you to know because you're obsessed is you're not in love, because obsession can't be love, right? Obsession's like this, love is equal. Oops. So like, it was really cool to work with him, but this is something that's really important. And I said it in episode 0. First thing he said to me, he goes, you know, man, I feel like less of a man that I need your help. And that's why I'm saying to everybody, you cannot fix it alone. And the reason you can't is that thing, that mind of yours, that you're asking to think your way out of trouble, is the thing that got you in trouble. You have to do it a different way. And you can't do it alone. And you cannot, by natural law, you cannot see your own blind spots.
Mm.
How can you see your own blind spots? They're blind spots for a reason, right? That's why when you get into a conscious relationship with another buddy, and you check in with him and he goes, you know, like that guy had one of his buddies go, what are you doing? She's treating you like garbage. But you know what? Here's the pattern thing again. He had big abandonment issues. His mom left him when he was around 18. So abandonment in your subconscious mind equals death, right? So he kind of figured out, oh, geez, I was equating her leaving with death. And I would pick a shitty relationship over death any day, right?
Right.
So Yeah, it's kind of where it all goes.
Right.
So,
and it's crazy how there's so much risks to want to center your life around someone.
Yep.
Particularly because it's, again, there's things you have no control over when you decide to do that. And as you mentioned, girls definitely do not respect that. They some of them will probably say they do.
Yeah.
Because I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Like, oh, these guys have to, you know, care about you in all different ways. But at the end of the day, I do feel like women do respect someone who has
admire you.
Yeah.
They want to admire you. I think they want to admire a man who's doing his thing out there in the world. That's what Dida's talking about.
Yeah.
Do your thing in the world. And if you don't know what it is, figure it out.
Data says you need to have your purpose, your journey, and you bring a woman into your journey. But she's not your journey.
That's perfectly said. And Glover says, don't make a woman your cake. Make her the icing on your cake. Have a great life first, right? So this guy, JM, like, everything stopped. He stopped everything. And again, he didn't stick up for himself. He was the flaccid male, right? And, you know, no surprise, by the way, I forgot to tell you, part of her little diatribe, she said, oh, by the way, I don't think we're going to have sex anymore for a while. Because nobody wants to have sex with the flaccid male, as it were, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So there you go, man. So I think that's the flaccid male. We'll probably stop there. We're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff. Like, this is scratching the surface, but we wanted to intro the topic. And I'll just close with, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, like, softer men, cry. Imbalance, for sure.
Yep.
But I'm telling you, very few women want a guy who's like a tissue paper. Yep. They want to feel a man they can lean on at times, right? So
if you've had experiences like these ones, or you know a friend who's struggled with something like this, you can send the video over to them. If you want to comment your experience, you know, this show, we want to bring in your comments, your life experiences into this, because Dave and I will be able to then discuss these things and find sometimes things that we see have happened in our lives or know people as well. And at the end of the day, that's how I think we can share the message on how we can together become better men.
Yeah,
I think,
and the email is in the video. You'll see it there. So, like, drop us a line. Hey, if you want to come on the show and share, let's do it sooner than later.
Yeah, we'll do live calls. We'll get everybody involved with this as well. So this is Breakfast with Manny, but this is, at the end of the day, a breakfast with a lot of people, a lot of you guys in there. So
nice. Cool, brother.
Cool.
Episode 1 done.